We're going to be together in the book of Acts today, the second chapter. Let's pray. Lord Christ, thank you for your grace, as was sung by the choir this day, a reminder that your grace is sufficient, is enough for us. Thank you for the words that are before us. We pray that you would help us to put aside anything that would hinder us from hearing these words. Lord, then we pray, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What kind of church are we to be? That's a great and important question for our church and every church that has existence. Here are a few options. I just did a cursory look at my library, and I've got half a dozen. So we could be a transformational church. We could be an organic church. We can be an equipping church. We could be an emerging church. We could be a missional church. We could be a connecting church. Maybe it's time to write a book. You know, there are many options when it comes to being and doing church. Maybe Glenn MacDonald had this in mind when he wrote, "In 1983, I was called to be the organizing pastor of a new congregation on the suburban fringe of Indianapolis. In my mind, I cherished a sincere but poorly focused desire to do church a different way, to help generate new strategies for recruiting and releasing committed followers of Jesus." He continues, "Along the way, however, our attention had become increasingly riveted to the ABCs of congregational life: attendance, building, and cash. How many people are on site? And is that number increasing? Is there room for everyone to park? And when can we upgrade our nursery facilities? What was last month's bottom line? And will we have the money to pay next month's bills?" Without even noticing it, we were paying more attention to structure than vitality. Our lip service to releasing God's transforming power had become swamped by our "let's keep the place under our control" behaviors. We instinctively began to keep score on the basis of externals, the institutional surface of the body of Christ, and awarded ourselves high marks for our apparent health. Now, I don't know about you, but the ABCs of church seem to be something that I focus on. Maybe that's because I grew up in the church: attendance, building, and cash. And at the end, a fourth one, all of those things lead up to survival. Maybe we are just a surviving church. But I want to suggest to you this morning, though those things are important, attendance, building, cash, and survival. I mean, that was evidenced to me yesterday when I got the urgent call to come over to church. The pipes are backing up into the kitchen. I get it. I walked across the craggly parking lot trying not to trip. I get it. These things are important. But are these the things we devote ourselves to in the Christian church? I would suggest to you that the early church speaks to the things that we might devote ourselves to. If you have your Bibles, take those out. There's a pew Bible in front of you. Sometimes it's just good to feel God's word on your fingers and hands and smell that book in front of you. Acts 2:42, this one verse captures what the early church did. Four things that were of the utmost importance for them. In fact, Luke, who is the writer of Acts, also the writer of the Gospel of Luke, so this is an extension of his historical account of the church, Luke writes that they devoted themselves to four things. The first is the apostles' teaching, And this is all about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What Jesus did, what Jesus said, how Jesus acted. This is really focusing on discipleship, being a follower of Christ. That's what the apostles were teaching. Our apostolic teaching is what we call the Bible. We focus on what Scripture says about doing our lives. And so a church that is focused on doing life together and focused on the biblical model of doing church, first and foremost, focuses on the apostles' teaching. Number two, they devoted themselves to fellowship. This is an interesting word. It's a churchy word. Rarely do we hear this word outside of the church. In the Greek, this word is koinonia, and it really means to share in or to be a partner in. And so they shared in life in Jesus Christ. They partnered in the ministry of the gospel. The early church focused on the apostles' teaching, on koinonia, on fellowship, or partnering, or sharing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. This really means doing life together, entering into the intimate parts of life. They shared in breaking of bread. This is one of my favorites. This is food. They had people over and into their homes. It was a very special act in the first century to invite someone into your home and share food with them. It's intimate. And you didn't invite just anybody, but the church was open to sharing food with one another. They were deliberate and intentional. This is doing life together in the ordinary, everyday acts of life. My wife and I and boys, we love to camp. And so at spring break, we always go out and camp for a few days. Whenever that falls, and it's usually around Easter. And this year we went out and camped, but we didn't do it alone. We did it in partnership with others. We broke bread with them, if you will. We spent several days camping with four other families from the congregation, and it was just a blessing and a gift to break bread, to sit around the campfire and roast and then eat s'mores and then some more. This is what the early church did. They devoted themselves to the teaching of Jesus and the apostles, to fellowship, the koinonia, the sharing in life together, to relationship, and they devoted themselves, lastly, says Luke, to prayer. This is the act of worshiping God, surrendering before God, asking for God's help and supplication in life and faith and in the church. Those four things depicted the early church. These were the four most important things. They did a lot of things in the early church, but they devoted themselves to discipleship, to fellowship, to relationship, and to worship. This is what the church did and what they devoted themselves to do. But out of their doing came being. And so in verses 43 through 47, if you're following along now, Luke says, everyone, and then later he says, all the believers devoted themselves and did these things. This is what the people were like, who they are in the church and in their kingdom living. So they devoted themselves to do four things, but they became these things. Number one, everyone was filled with awe. Think of a church where everyone, all the believers, are filled with awe. At what? At who they are? By no means. But they're filled with awe in what God is doing around them. Their eyes are wide open to the acts of God. I have, just on the tip of my mind, a half dozen people in mind that God is doing miraculous things in their lives. Do you know anyone in your church family where God is intervening, where God is entering into their lives and changing them, making them new? Miraculous healings. We see it all over. If our eyes are open, God is doing work around us. They were celebrating what God was doing. They were filled with awe. Number two, they were together and had everything in common. This is both unity and diversity at the same time. We don't all have to be the same. In fact, that would be a very boring church and probably unhealthy. But we do have to have the unity that is in the Spirit and in Christ Jesus. We know who we are and we know where God is leading us. Number three, they gave to anyone who had need. Now Luke is going to talk about the needs that are being met by the community. These are physical needs. They met together daily. That means they were meeting the relational needs of those in the church. They ate together in their homes, evidencing that they got together in this intimate setting so that they could meet emotional needs of one another. And then lastly, they were praising God together. Those are the spiritual needs. So the church took care of physical needs, relational needs, emotional needs, and spiritual needs of all the people, all the believers, everyone in the church. These needs were being met. Do you see the kind of life that comes out of doing those four important things? Devoting ourselves to the things that are of the utmost importance in the kingdom of God. Boy, I get excited when I think about a church that looks like this church, that looks like the church that the apostles were moving out and venturing to begin. And lastly, says Luke, because of all of these things, they were enjoying the favor of all the people. Enjoying means joy. Joy in church. Imagine. Enjoying church, enjoying life together, enjoying each other, enjoying the hardships of life and the suffering and the struggle, finding joy in the good parts of life as well. Koinonia, this is our work in the church. This is what God calls us to do and become. And Luke separates very clearly our work in fellowship or koinonia or partnering or doing life together and God's work. Did you look at the end of verse 47? And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Whose work is the work of adding to their number? That's the Lord's work, clearly. In fact, if you think about the ABCs of the church, attendance, building, and cash, whose work is that? That's not even our work. It's the work of the Lord. Jesus said to Peter, when Peter made the proclamation that he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, Jesus said to Peter, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not stand against it. This is the work of the Lord. Our building committee president, or chair, I should say, Russ Warren, told us all the way through our work on the building program, God will do this. God will do this. This is not too great a task for God. He recognized that our building is up to the Lord, no matter what the bottom line is. In fact, a wise man once said, if this is of God, you won't be able to stop it. Do you remember who said that? Gamaliel! I told you last week! It was in our text last week, remember? Yeah, of course you remember. Gamaliel said about the work of the apostles, this early church. He told the Pharisees, you let the apostles go. If this work isn't of the Lord, then it won't happen. But if it's of the Lord, nobody will be able to stop it. And friends, I believe that to the depths of my heart. If we focus on the things that we are to focus on, that nothing will stop God's work. Koinonia, doing life together. Devoting ourselves to doing and being church. Three things I want to leave you with this morning. If you haven't listened to any of the previous material, you might want to listen now. Take this home. Pray about it. Consider it. Talk with each other. Number one, if we're going to be the church that God calls us to be, we have to separate our work from God's work. We've got to understand what it is that God's calling us to do, and then giving up all of the other stuff to Him. Are we a church that understands the difference between what we're being called to do and what God is doing among us? Number two, we are to devote ourselves to the four important works of the church, the doing. And I don't think they've changed. I think they're still the same. I think it's still the apostles' teaching, discipleship. I think it's still fellowship, koinonia. I think it's still breaking bread together, relationship, and to prayer. That's worship. I think if we focus on those four things, discipleship, fellowship, relationship, and worship, well, we're well onto our way to becoming the church God wants us to be. And then lastly, to trust God for our eternal future. This may be the hardest one to do. I don't know about you, but I'm a worrier. I fret. I get concerned. So when I see the ABCs moving in a direction that's not comfortable for me, well, I start to want to take control back in those situations. But Gamaliel was wise, wasn't he? In fact, we can apply his wisdom to this day. If what we're doing as we surrender to Christ is of God, well then, nobody's going to stop it. I look forward to doing church with you all together and life itself. And so we focus together on discipleship, fellowship, relationship, and worship. Let's see what God does. Amen.